Angela, I believe there's a piece you need to read. You need to read.
Yes. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We are going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The committee and staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add pronouns after your name. Use the raised hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand would take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. Staff will let you know when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the body may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
Can you assist with roll call, please?
Yes.
Audio.
Anushree Bangalore.
Escape.
Araceli Esparza.
Here.
All right. Brian Benford.
Present.
Bob Kleba.
Present.
Corinda Rainey Moore.
Present.
Dina Wright. Okay. Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford.
Here, thank you.
Catriel Tan Williams. Linda Ketchum.
Here.
Melanie Ramey.
Here.
Nazra Wahili.
Here.
Sheree Wallace.
Here.
Zach Madden.
Present.
A quorum is present, Chair.
Thank you. So we will proceed with our agenda. I need approval of the October meeting? October 17th minutes?
Yes.
Audio.
So move.
Right.
So it's been a motion by Melanie. Is there a second?
Hand now lowered. Raise hand button.
I second.
Is that Bob? Yeah. Are there any discussion? I'm not seeing any hands. All in favor of the approval of the October 17th minutes, can you raise your hand? If you're unable to raise your hand, can you just say yes? Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4. We have four. Is it four? I think we need a little more than four for approval. Anybody, any other approval of the minutes?
Yes, I approve, Araceli.
Thank you, Araceli. So that's five. Nezra, seven. I mean, six, sorry. Anybody else?
I think I missed chair. I was not present. I don't remember October meeting. Don't know if okay. I was there. I was traveling, so I know I tried to join, but I don't know if I joined. If I was there, yes.
Right. I think we have enough to approve the minutes.
Yes. So I wasn't there.
Thanks. Anybody opposed to the approval of the minutes? I'm not seeing any hands, so the minutes are approved.
I'm sorry, Corinda, our chair, would you please mark me as abstaining?
As who's speaking?
This is Dina, Alder Martinez Rutherford.
Okay.
Thank
so
you.
We have one abstention.
No, I also. I'm sorry, Chair. I was also going to abstain since I wasn't at the meeting.
Same here. Masra.
So we have three abstentions. Can that be noted in the minutes?
Yes.
Thanks. Anybody else? All right. So it looks like the minutes were approved with three abstentions. So the next item on the agenda is, are there any disclosure, any public comments?
As of 4:15 today, there were no public comments registered.
And I have not received any either, so we don't have any public comments, but are there anyone who needs to have any disclosures or recusals? I'm not seeing any hands. So then the next item on the agenda would be the budget implementation and referendum. I believe Noam Davis is supposed to be here to discuss.
I'm here. Good evening, everyone.
Okay, Noam, the floor is yours.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the invitation back to sort of follow up my last discussion before this body. The last time I spoke to you about the budget was I think it was prior to the referendum, prior to the election, and certainly prior to the budget deliberations by the Common Council. So there was very good news. If you all recall, we were going into the election with two options. We had a plan A, which was if the voters supported the referendum and it passed, there would not be any expected cuts to the 2025 operating budget. And plan B was, in the event that voters did not support the referendum, there were sort of a slate of things that would be cut because of the structural deficit. So there was very good news that the voters did support the referendum. And that vote actually fixes the structural deficit so that we don't have to keep revisiting this issue year after year. Not to say there won't be challenges in future budget years, but at least that structural deficit was addressed. And so for 2025, the 2025 operating budget, there were no cuts necessary for city operations, which includes the Department of Civil Rights. So we're good to go in terms of our cost to continue all of our positions into 2025.
Thank you, Norm, for that update. Are there any questions?
I see Zach saying. Oh, sorry, I'm not
saying,
here.
Is that Zach?
Yes, sorry. Question for you, Norm. Obviously, good news that the referendum passed. I just wanted to kind of better understand in terms of the option that would have been on the table had the referendum not passed, if you could maybe speak to how that pathway was formulated. I know that a lot of us were kind of surprised to see the ALJ position be kind of on the chopping block if that had not occurred.
Yeah, Zach, did you have a chance to review my memo?
I did not, no.
Okay. Yeah, I was really hoping that everybody would take the opportunity to review that memo because I covered that thoroughly in the memo, and I also covered it at the last meeting when I presented. Suffice it to say that we had many input sessions with city staff. We reviewed this with a number of stakeholders, including other departments, HR, city attorney's office, and we were required to make a 5% cut. And so there was not an option to not make a 5% cut. And our office is very heavy in most of the budget is salaries. And so we took a very hard look at everything. Our staff challenged us to look at every possible contingency or option, even looking at, you know, some of the highest salaries in the department and trying to make cuts there. We had some guidelines from the mayor. You know, she wanted us to be very conscious of decisions that we would make that might be inequitable, decisions that we would make that might not be sustainable. The cuts that we would have had to make, much like the referendum fix, would have to be sustainable. Like it could not just be a one-year fix. So when we looked at everything in the department, a lot of the recommendations that were put forth weren't tenable. They didn't meet any of those criteria. They weren't going to be sustainable, didn't plug the 5% hole, all of those things. And so when I looked at the budget, I noticed that the hearing examiner salary and benefits was just about 10% of our total department budget for one position. The mayor had also asked us, you know, what premium services are we providing to the public that we could procure in another way? And so I realized that with the hearing examiner role, that is something that's designated by this body. And so I started to look at where was there any mandatory authority for that position to be a position within the department? Was there, you know, some mandate? And I discovered that there was not. And so I realized that with the diminished number of hearings that we actually hold because of the successful mediation and conciliation work, that we could actually outsource those services, and then we'd be able to make sure that the public received no drop in service, and you know, we would limit the impact of to DCR personnel to one position. If it wasn't this one position, it would be, have to be multiple positions within the department.
Any other questions for Nolan? All right, I'm not seeing any other questions. So thank you, Norm, for that update. We appreciate it and appreciate your being here.
Of course. Thank you all. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Have a good evening. So the next item we had on the agenda was the meeting calendar dates for 2025. Typically, we meet the second Thursday of the month, except there are 2 months where we meet the third Thursday of the month, which is January and November, I believe, are the 2 months where we meet the third Thursday of the month. So we're checking is, does that calendar date and month still work for folks? Linda?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I know for me, the November and the December one, I think could be, well, November for sure, I know I won't be able to attend because that'll be a Justine board meeting. So I know now that that won't be, I won't be at that one, but otherwise.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody else? All right. It looks like we will continue these dates for 2025 moving forward. Typically, the exec committee do meet prior to the full commission's meeting. I believe the rule of thumb is it has to be, we have to meet 10 days in advance of the exec, of the full commission meeting. At least 10 days in advance. And so we've been consistently doing that as well. So we will continue with the same calendar time frame moving forward in 2025. And then the next item on the agenda was, I cannot see. So, and the dates were all listed. So if you want to just ensure that you have those dates on the calendar, that would be great moving forward.
Chair, so I just saw an item in April. That meeting is 3 days apart. I didn't notice that when we talked earlier this month, the April meeting between the executive committee and equal opportunity, as well as May.
May, yeah.
May and April.
And July.
And October.
Jeez. We went over this and missed it. So I will revisit this and come back. Look like it's April, May, July, and October.
Yeah, those dates probably won't work because we have to have at least the time frame in advance so that it's noted.
So third Thursday on those months as well. I will make that correction and resend.
Thanks. And whose hand is that?
Kleba.
Was that you, Angela, or was there somebody else saying?
I see Kleba and Ketchum.
Bob?
Yeah, I might suggest that if the dates for the Equal Opportunities Commission are okay for the majority of the commission, that we don't need to bring this back to the whole commission, but rather the dates for the months where we only have 3 days between, we bring exclusively to the executive committee.
And then Linda?
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I was just going to note if at any of the meetings, because the Justine board meets on the third Thursday of every month, so any of these meetings that get moved to a third Thursday, I would miss.
It's probably likely that the exec meeting would need to move and not the full commission's meeting would probably be my recommendation. Anybody else? So I think the exec committee meeting is what needs to move. And so that will probably just go to the exec board. And the rest of the dates, I would say folks can keep the calendar dates on their agenda for the full body commission. Angela, can you scroll the agenda?
Yes.
And then
right here.
And then, so then our discussion items was we wanted to give folks a chance to say anything they wanted to about the community listening session that was held last month. If there's any comment that folks would like to say regarding that, we would be open to that discussion now. Araceli, go ahead.
Sure.
And then Zach.
Although it was really low attended, I do feel like we got a lot out of it. We connected with someone in the school that I know Byron is going to, you know, possibly there's going to be a friendship there, a working relationship with this individual. And I know that there could be some mentorship to this young professional, this young Black professional who helps so many of our community who are really dealing with housing crises. So I, you know, if anything, that was a networking that needed to happen. Yeah, there were like other conversations around building codes. I learned something about like having double lots and like the like having the possibility of like building on, if you had a double lot, like you could build on another lot. And now law has gone by that they used to call them like mother-in-law houses, I guess, or like these like tiny houses next to a house. I used to see them a lot in Texas. There's a law that we can rent them out. And then we found out about there were a couple other individuals from the city that were there. And then there was another individual from the community who was there as well. Like I said, I think that it was, although there was a low turnout, I do feel like community was had. And somebody took off with those vegan cookies too quickly, Bob. I was expecting to take some home. No, but they were very good. Thank you so much. I do feel like it was necessary, though, to show our presence at a public elementary school, because housing not only affects, it doesn't only affect the adults, obviously it affects children too, that they happen to be our largest population of homelessness in our country. Okay, thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Araceli. Zach, and then we'll go to Sheree and then Brian.
Just a quick thought that I had, Byron, was, and maybe you're already doing this, but it made me think, hearing from the MMSD staffer who was there, that if we aren't doing some training or having conversations with them about kind of our partnership training, that maybe that's something that we should explore. I don't know if we are already in touch with MMSD about it, but that kind of popped into my head as he was talking.
Thank you. Sheree?
So I want to apologize to the whole committee and to our Sally and Linda for not really supporting you all, but I was dealing with a lot of personal problems and that I have taken care of. But I'm glad you were able to hold the meeting, and that's it.
Thank you, Sheree. And we were lifting you in our prayers as we knew that there were some things going on in your family. So thank you for your support anyway. Brian?
Thanks, Chair. Excuse me. I'm a little under the weather. I want to echo something that Araceli said. It's really great to be in community. Mm-hmm. And when I think about the listening sessions, I'm reminded, you know, we explored the possibility of truth and reconciliation. And these listening sessions feel like mini truth and reconciliations. I don't share a similar opinion that if there's just a father and their child there from the public and the rest of the folks are city staff, that seemed to be the outlier. The other ones that I've attended had more people, and they are informative to us. It makes us relevant in the community because most folks don't know what we do or what the department does. So I think it's worth continuing, but I think we have to be perhaps more strategic. And I know we were coming into it, but if we can guarantee a bigger turnout, I'm reminded of the 60th anniversary where we had a lot of folks. I mean, that was community in the making as well. So perhaps there are a couple times a year. I'm not on the committee that plans these, but I want to thank Sheree, Linda, and Araceli for at least giving us these opportunities. But as I sat there and conversation from city staff, we can individually get that type of conversation if we want. So I'm not saying that it wasn't worth it. I'm just questioning in the future, can we be perhaps a little bit more strategic? And you know, linking with school staff, that's fantastic. But, you know, maybe that doesn't have to happen in the confines of, you know, our meetings when we have other things that we'll be working on. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Nazra, and then I see you, Sheree, again. I'm looking to see if there was anybody else. Go ahead, Nazra.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. So I came to the community listening session, and unfortunately, we didn't have quorum for the committee meeting, so I left. And I'm wondering, you know, like, what was the turnout? Secondly, how can we advertise more to have more engagement in terms of the board, or the commission, but other communities? Because I think at that time, you know, they were not, you know, the community members, but also we didn't have quorum for the commission meeting.
And I think that was the first time in a long time that we did not have quorum for the commission meeting. And I do know part of why we didn't, because folks were running late. And it was the first, I'm going to say, the first kind of snow day. Which it wasn't a lot of snow, but for the first snow day, there's typically some folks that run behind because of it. And so we didn't have the quorum for the larger meeting because of that. And I do think that we had been aware that the meeting was happening at Sandberg, I think. It was for a while, and we didn't get the turnout, but I also think we probably didn't get the turnout also, because realistically, I think that was also one of the colder days that we've had this year, so thus far at that time, and folks didn't stick around, you know, for the meeting. Can we do better advertising? I would say probably. But at the same time, I don't think, even in our advertising, there are certain things that are likely going to affect attendance at meetings like this. And that part of that is the weather as well. And so with that, I think I saw Sheree again and then Dina.
So I want to say, working with different communities, we got to do our homework. Every community operates in a different way. And we probably didn't. I know I didn't put a lot of effort into trying to find out who was the leaders, where people get their information. Doing this here, going into communities that we don't know nothing about, we have to, with these talks, do our homework. And we didn't do our homework. And sometimes we're going to get a low turnout. And sometimes it will be a good turnout. You know, I don't know no alderman can pull all a residents into one room in a meeting. You know what I'm saying? So just the effort means a lot. We did not leave that community not attended. We thought about them. We thought about their needs. But this is something we'll work on, getting to know the community better and which we're trying to serve.
Dina?
Yeah, that was kind of just my question. I was wondering how exactly it is advertised, because if folks don't know, they're not going to be there. I agree that weather, of course, that always there's always a problem with weather if the weather is bad with people coming out. I also agree with Sheree that, yeah, you have to get to know the community. But on the flip side, that needs to happen before the meeting is planned. And so I'm just wondering how. Are there fly? Like, how was it advertised, or how are these things advertised? Because I definitely think we should look at that. Because I also agree with Brian that it's kind of like a meh, you know, if just a couple of people show up, it's I just think we get more bang for our buck if we can get a higher number of people there, and maybe that does mean getting more familiar with the different communities if we are not. But how do we advertise for that? Can someone?
So we were doing outreach. You know, we were doing outreach.
There is a flyer.
I had someone volunteering, putting flyers on the door. I knew certain people in certain areas. Thanks to when we had it on the south side, you said you got information that day or whatever, and you had people was able to come. So knowing people in communities, that's one. When we did it on the west side, I knew the people. We put out flyers. On the north side, we put out flyers. We did not, we had flyers, but people want to see faces. People want to see who behind providing information to their community before they come out. This was just one meeting that wasn't really successful, and we're going to get that. But when we do work and try to plan, we really work. We put out flyers, we talk to people, we try to get information so we'll know what the topic gonna be, what they are, and we'll be able to tell them what we coming to do, listen and provide them with resources. So I think overall we did good. We just had one that we had a low turnout. We'll revisit them.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah, if it's just one, then that's
just one.
That's understandable. So when you say put them on doors, you put them on doors of people's homes or what?
Yes. So when we had did the north side, we went into the community center and they put them on the doors of the apartments. We
Okay.
reached out to Northport, Kennedy Heights. You know, we were able to outreach. When we did it in Meadowood, we put them on doors. We, you know, put them in a community center, the library. You know, when we did it on Ever Park, we had conversations over there. We gave them to the community center and the leaders that was advocating. Their alderman on the west side, Barbara McKinley, was very helpful in pulling people together.
Right.
So,
yeah. So I mean, it sounds like we're doing, you know, some of the right things. Where does the flyer come from? Who makes the flyer?
What does the flyer look like? Not to like jump because everybody else, but we did make those flyers and the city was helping us. And like, it was just kind of me, you know, Nina. If you would like to join the subcommittee again,
I would love
that. That would be great because some of us are burnt out from it. I mean, we do what we can and we work with the city, and I lean on the city to like put it out to the listservs. And we have two representatives, you know. I mean, there was like a perfect storm. I don't want to be judged by one event, but like by the whole effort that we've done all year. And I don't want to put you in. He represents like 50 families in the community. So honestly, him and Byron are gonna, I hope this is the beginning of a very fruitful relationship between them as mentors. And I think that Jeremiah, like knowing all of you, like he's gonna grow. Like he's an up and coming young leg professional here in town. I think it was amazing for him to know that behind him there are 50.
I gotta say,
at the minimum
of all the areas that we have been in, the other ones I'm very familiar with, but that area was one that I definitely was not familiar with.
Yeah, I'm not either.
It was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely think that we have to do outreach there, and having faces that people know also helps. And I know for me, that was just one area that I was not familiar with at all. And all the other ones I'm familiar with, and I'm familiar with folks in those other areas, but this was just one that I personally, myself, was not familiar with at all.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I was not familiar
Brian,
with that area.
Brian and then Nazra.
Thanks, Chair. I think the alder was before me. I'll swap with the alder, then I'll jump in.
The alder had a chance already and you haven't, so I'm going to go back to the alder. So if you're going to go ahead, it's my call, so go ahead.
Thanks for the clarification. So I think what Dina said in that conversation, that, you know, in the future, more of us can get involved. But throughout this conversation, I think it's a good conversation, but I can't stop thinking, why not at the Monona Terrace, some big thing where there's food? And we've talked about that in the past, that why isn't news media, why isn't this covered by all the media? So that's why, as we think about the future and being intentional, it's good to have these touch points in the community. And I bet you if I looked at everybody on the screen, we kind of do individually, don't we? We all work in different parts and we all have those connections. But I hope that at some point we could have a large event, citywide, wonderful food at the Monona Terrace. And that's what I envision as a community listening session. Thanks.
I think we need a budget for that too. Go ahead, Nazra.
Thank you, Chair. So my, as the commission, my hope is the same way we have the calendars of event or calendar of the meeting to have those kind of sessions. So at least we can also promote to our, you know, network. The second question I have is, what's the objectives of the community listening session? What do we want to gain out of it, and how we can make it more like, let's say, when we debrief, was our objective met, or What did we learn from it? So those are some questions that are ongoing that we can use to energize the, if you will, the commissions, but also the other community members that can come to the session. Thanks.
First, anybody from I see you, Melanie. We'll come to you in just a second. Is there anyone from the commission, from the planning team that want to talk about the objectives?
I will. So I believe overall our objectives was met. The city got information regarding management companies and on the west side, example, Apple Park. The city and the aldermen, our committee was able to get a lot of information on outside management, the treatment of residents, and exactly everything that they were going through, as far as their living arrangements, as far as evictions, non-renewals. We got a lot of information how people was being unfairly treated, and that even goes for the north side. We was able to provide resources and follow up with a lot of residents that participated in these conversations. We got the aldermen actively involved, like Barbara McKinley. You know what I'm saying? So I think our objectives was met. We got a lot of information, and going forward, we're about to face elderly homelessness, you know, while they're saying that these affordable houses, elderly people can't even afford to eat because their funds is paying for their apartment. So we'll be starting another topic, but far as after that Dancor funding, and we found a lot out about that. How management treated people, how residents were evicted unfairly, how the housing was they weren't living up to standard in their housing, and how CDA didn't follow up on many cases, you know. So I think we got a lot of information. And I think our work group did good by hearing people, telling them to file, putting the information out that they have a voice in how they're being treated, and learning how to file their own discrimination suits, learning about what it is to be discriminated against, what they should look for, learning the website.
Called Martinez dash Rutherford disc 15 left. Parentheses.
And I think that part of our objective
talking
is we're here to serve the community, and the only way we can actively serve the community is by being in the community and hearing from the community what their issues are, and then and incorporating those things into our work plan as we move forward to try to help people navigate the system. So it's also to educate the community also about what their rights are as citizens in this community, and how to go about ensuring that their rights are being taken into account, and how to advocate and navigate some of the systems for which they're facing some of these issues that they have. Is also part of our objective, is to learn from the community, but also to educate the community as well. And so I think Sheree's right in terms of our agenda. Typically, we use that information to plan our next steps in terms of our work plan as well, to incorporate those things into our work plan, but to also to address some of the issues that our folks in the community are facing. Melanie, thank you for your patience.
Yeah, two comments. One thing I think may have happened with this last one was the when it was scheduled. You know, the others were in the spring and in the summer when it was still daylight. And this particular one was already the time had changed, it was already dark, etc. So that may have had some influence on people coming out. But the second thing is, several years ago, there used to be a day-long meeting the mayor conducted for neighborhoods, and all the neighborhoods came together. And I'm trying to think where it was. Was it the Overture or Monona
Is that
Terrace or where
the
over? Yeah. And it was we it happened for 2 or 3 years. And the purpose was, you know, for neighborhoods to come together and to give different kinds of information and interactions and so forth and so on. And so Brian's comment made me remember about that. And maybe that's something we need to think about again.
But you
beat it. Lower
any
raise.
other hand? I'm not seeing any other hands. So what I would like to say is I want to thank the committee, Sheree, Araceli, and Linda for their work in setting these up and also actively getting recruiting and getting folks there, which raises our awareness about these places in our community, but also about some of the issues in our community. So thank you for your help in that. And if there is no
You're
other
very
hand,
welcome. You're very welcome. And Sheree, thank you for giving that beautiful summary because I could not have put it together better. Thanks.
you're welcome.
and if there are no other hands, we will move on to nominations and elections of officers. Melanie, do you want to say anything about that?
Yes, I'm in the process of putting together the slate. And what happens is that what we've done in the past is that toward the end of this month, you'll receive in the mail a ballot and you return the ballot in. But it'll probably be the last week of the month or the 1st of January. We need to do it before our January meeting. So, in any event, I'm working on it.
Any questions for Melanie?
Yes, if any of you want to volunteer, you know, for anything, let me know. But, you know, we're filling some executive committee slots and also the appeals committee. So I am calling different ones of you, and I now have, I guess I just got this afternoon, the list of everybody's contact, so nobody will escape. And I'll be in contact to see what you would like to do to help the cause.
Any questions for Melanie? All right, I'm not seeing any hands, so Melanie will be in touch. Dina?
Yeah, I just had one question. Is there a place where I can go and look at the requirements for different positions? Requirements, expectations, that kind of thing?
No, not there's not really an official kind of thing. When I contact you, I'll tell you.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
You'll find out. Thanks, Sarah.
Any other questions? All right, I'm not seeing any hands. So the next item on the agenda, I think, are Alder's report. So, Alder Nazra and Dina, if there is any report you guys want to say?
None at this time.
All right.
Me either.
All right, thank you. So then, the next item is that your report, Byron.
It is.
Yep. All right, the floor is
Thank
yours.
you. Appreciate that, Chair. First thing I want to comment on is y'all were talking about a budget for next year. Something that I've been thinking about as well, that we are starting to need some funds to do some things and to reach the people that we want to reach. So through my budget, through the Equal Opportunities Division, through some of the monies that we receive for the work that we do contractually for the federal government, I'm looking to create a line item budget starting off with $500 for you all for next year and be a budget that we're looking to do for you all for, moving forward for the commission. We've never had one before, and I thought it'd be a good way to start things off. So hopefully y'all are okay with that. So
we okay with budget dollars.
Yeah, make it 1,000.
Well, you know, well, I got to get through this 2025 year and then we can talk. So, you know.
Will they be able to use manufactured coupons at the grocery store with that?
Yeah, we're still in the coupon phase, right? You know, so yeah. But, you know, it's a place to start. So and I feel like it might help us with some advertisement dollars, marketing dollars, or things that we might need to do to help with some of these great listening sessions that we've have hosted in the past. So and I'm very proud of those listening sessions and the work that you all have done to put into those. That work should not be taken lightly at all, because we as a team have made some amazing changes to policy, the law, also in our ordinance, based upon those listening sessions and what our community members have told us what they really would like from us. So, you know, kudos to the team on all that. So that's big. In that, I'm also looking at, as you know, I'm looking at alternative ways to generate additional dollars. I believe that, as you've heard me say before, the day of us having to depend upon our community members, our citizens, taxpayers, to always be the answer for whatever we need, I think we're moving away from that phase and need to be very creative on how we start generating funds and dollars to increase some money for the work that we're doing. One of the ways is we have probably the best investigative systems and processes, hands down, by anyone, anywhere. The federal government has identified our process as being one that should be a model that everybody should learn, be taught, and follow, which is exactly why we're looking to be teaching this model at Madison College, our investigative techniques process, starting next year, and sharing this this great work that we've been doing for since the 60s, and fine-tuning, refining it to come to the model that we have now to share with others. So that's one thing. In addition to that, you know, we've been having conversations with Sun Prairie. They and other municipalities around Madison would love to have what we have in the city of Madison. There's just never really probably going to be the capacity for them to do that, to do what we do. And if they do, it would take them a decade or so to even build and get things to a point where it could be what we do on even the smallest scale. And so the answer for me to them is, well, contract us to help you to do this work and to teach you how to do this work. And so we are in conversation with, as you know, with Sun Prairie, the city of Sun Prairie, for that kind of thing. And there are other municipalities that have reached out that have had an interest in this as well. My goal is to eventually develop the relationship with Sun Prairie, work out the kinks and the bugs before we start trying to talk to anybody else. Because I would rather have the house be in order and making sure that we kind of know what we're doing and how we're doing, if we're going to be being paid by other communities to support, which those funds will go to supporting folks in our own community. So we just need to make sure that everything is in order when we do, though. But it's a huge opportunity. And I look at these kinds of relationships really no different than the relationships that we have being contracted by the federal government to process and be paid to do work in their behalf for our own community as well. So it's very similar type relationship, very similar type of work. And I'm hoping to have something, this relationship in place. I would love to have it in place by first quarter 2025. We've been moving it down the road. A lot of it had to do with budget. A lot of it had to do with our own caseload and making sure their own caseload was in order and that our own residents would not be in a place where they're still not getting the priority attention from us. So we would never want to do that as well. So before you really get the ask from me to help with the push on that, all of those pieces, as you're hearing from me today, I'm trying to make sure that they are all in place. So when I do let you know that now's the time to move this forward, this will help us as we grow. In addition to that, as I mentioned, the federal government, in 2025, we're contracted to do about 50 cases for them in the city of Madison. But they now have reached us and say that there's a potential additional 40 cases on top of the 50 that they would like to send our way, which would be amortized out over 12 months. It wouldn't be all at once. It'd be spread out over the year. And should we be willing to agree to do that work, that also comes with a dollar amount. As you know, we get $830 per case that we do in behalf of the federal government and investigate in behalf of the feds. And so when I'm looking at 50 cases and moving that to 90 cases, well, for me, that equates to an opportunity for maybe a position or increased paralegal support or, you know, other things that we can do to continue to help our own residents. As I keep looking at alternative ways to add to our own pot without having to ask taxpayers to do it. So I'm excited about that. I'm thinking that this all could be a new way of thinking for us on how to go forward doing the business that we do. But if that's the transition we need to make, then I'm interested in really having those conversations and seeing how much of that we can do. As you know, last year we did reach out to HUD for a grant, also for some funding to support the housing work that we were doing in our community. I think we got close to being successful for that grant, but I think there was, as you know, a miscommunication in what we were going to use those funds, how they'd be dispersed. I think they thought we were asking more than what we were asking for. We asked for $300,000, and I think they thought we were asking for $300,000 a year, but we were asking for $300,000 over 4 years. So we're going to reapply for that and make sure that it gets very clear, because apparently we checked the boxes on everything else except just that that unclear piece. And so I'm encouraging our Equal Opportunities Division team to reapply, working with the city grants folks and seeing if we can be successful in 2025, which would be for a later award, but at least allow us to reapply and to learn if we're going to get an approval for that. So stay tuned for more on that. One of the things that I'm going to want to let you all know in the processing of the work, I have noticed that there has been a decrease in some of the participation from the community in the cases, or some folks are withdrawing from the process. And I'm believing it's because it was earlier on in the year when it was just taking too long to get to the cases. Due to being short staffed, we got fully staffed with four investigators, and then we lost one that's out on leave at the moment, and that kind of changed my whole thought process on where we were going to be digging out of the hole that we had created for ourselves from the previous year. But looking at that, the goal for me is I do believe the abandoned stage is now a stage that's going to stay with us. We are averaging between 400 and 500 cases coming in the door every year. We did peak over 500, was a year or a year and a, 2 years ago. I am really feeling that we're now staying at the place where the 400 to 500 is where we are, which is 2.5 times more than what it has been from when I first started a decade ago. So with that in mind, and if we're fully staffed, I'd still feel like when a case comes in, it's going to be probably a full cycle before it gets assigned, which in a full cycle, an investigative cycle is 120 days. And so that's looking like that's where we are if we're going to maintain balancing healthy life work balance with the investigators that are doing this work. I don't want to overload them and do like what I think, like what the state has for their investigators and their workload. I think it's very unmanageable, and it causes folks to go through burnout a lot quicker. And I don't want to do that with our people. Most of our folks, you know, when they're with us, they stay with us a long time and they stay with us in the roles and they really appreciate the work that we're doing. So I'm trying to be very careful in managing that and making sure that the employees are being taken care of in that work as well. As far as training goes, for next year, so we're still reaching, even though we only did training for 6 months this year, we still were able to reach over 2,000 people, which is amazing to me that we've been able to do that. And that's just for 6 months throughout the year. I intend to really be trying to focus on our training for next year and looking at ways that, you know, we can reach out to more respondents in our community, not only in the housing community, but I really want to focus back on the employment side of the work that we're doing. We've been spending so much energy on the housing, and I get that it's necessary, but I feel now that the employment side of the work that we do is not equally getting the attention that our division and the commission probably needs to be putting forward on. So I'm going to be focusing on ways that we can balance it out. And the training is one area that we can help balance some of that out with other folks. One of the things that was mentioned tonight was, Zach, you had mentioned about the training for some folks in the community on the community partners. Well, that is actually, we hadn't done the community partners in probably a couple of years. It was necessary for us to figure out how to do this. So we decided that because of that, we do every month a free training at the job center every single month and have been for decades. And so we decided to put in 2025 that community partners training not once but twice on the calendar year, spread out. So the first part of the year, the second part of the year, folks can come and get some of that training on the community partners where we can offer it to them. So that will be happening, and I'm excited that we're getting that back in. The investigators are going back to teaching that training in the community, and so that's going to be a part of the plan, at least one of the trainings that we know we're going to get back to. As right now, all trainings still are suspended other than that training and the trainings that we have and some of the other places that we have the committed relationships with. We're going to pick those back up. Just Dane is going to be picked back up. Madison College, some of the things that we're doing with them, the paralegal programs, we will continue with those supporting of those programs in 2025. But we're going to start figuring out how we're going to roll out the training that's going to be most effective to the community in all of the areas that we need to be paying attention to. Starting in this month in December, I've already casted the EOD vision of things that I feel like we should be paying attention to and focusing on to the team internally to EOD for 2025. I will be sharing that with you all probably shortly, probably in January. And that'll probably be coming along with some of the information that we'll be putting together on the annual report. Angelion will start working on that, all the data and information that we need on that annual report. Our plan is to try to have that prepared and completed in January. So that completes my update on my report. Hopefully you all received a copy of that. I was kind of paraphrasing some of the pieces as we go, but open to any conversations that you might have. Thank you.
Any questions for Byron? Thank you, Byron, for that thorough report. Any questions for Byron?
Looks like Melanie has her hand raised.
Yeah.
Okay, Melanie.
Byron, I have a question. With regard to Sun Prairie, do they have an ordinance that's similar to ours?
Fabulous question. So we worked with Sun Prairie to help them. They actually copied our ordinance literally word for word and just changed a few things to map theirs. They introduced it. They got it approved by their council, and they already have money already sitting and waiting for us that's approved for us to use to be contracted to do this work. So the city can receive these funds as soon as we finalize the work sharing agreement and the intergovernmental agreement, which I believe the city attorney and the attorney from Sun Prairie have been working on. It's just a matter at this point of coming up with a time frame we want to go. And I think the draft of the documents for the intergovernmental agreement is ready to go. But we just want to make sure that everything is in order on our side, just to make sure before we step forward into this new venture.
Would the amount of money they're paying be equivalent to the employment of a staff person who could be actually like a branch stationed in Sun Prairie to maybe 2-3 days a week, something like that?
What I can tell you is the dollar value amount that we would receive from Sun Prairie, they've only budgeted a certain dollar amount to get started that their council has approved. But it's probably close to double or 2.5 times than what we are getting from the federal government for processing the similar same type of case. So you can probably tell I'm, this would be a very good thing for us to do this and expand this. And here's the overall thing too, that I want to make sure everybody understands. It's a very good thing if our residents in our community and the greater Madison area are learning from the city of Madison how to do this, and we are all understanding and operating under a congruent philosophy of people who are being discriminated against in their employment, housing, and public accommodations, whatever it might be. So learning from us and our structure and our style can only help the folks that are living in the surrounding areas or connected to our city or coming in and out of our city to work when the community as a whole is under a similar philosophy. It's going to make things a lot easier when we're dealing with situations and issues like this.
Yeah, I understand. I certainly understand that. But I also think if these communities have an ordinance that they're required to obey, that, you know, they have to be prepared to put some money into it. And, staffs cost money, and we have good quality staff. So, you know, I think, and you know what you're doing with this, but, you know, to be sure that we can add some staff onto our group so that, you know, we can actually handle this kind of thing. And the communities need to know this kind of work costs some money.
I would agree. And it's directly in line with my thought process. Everything that we do should come with an associated dollar amount so we can increase the dollars, bringing more staff in, which only will help our residents and what we're doing, the work we're doing in our own community as well.
And you can give us more money to have a party.
Okay. Anything else? Any other questions? And there's one other item on the agenda that I actually mixed. So I'd like to just go back to that, which has to do with a call to action regarding we, the exec committee, discussed maybe having an additional committee members to kind of do the same thing that's being done with some house, with the housing issue. There's that committee that's been working on housing issues and setting up community listening sessions around that. We would like to also, I think Byron sort of alluded to having a committee that would come up with a plan around racial discrimination in the workforce. And that committee would be setting up programs and activities around that. And our question is there anyone in this commission willing to work on that committee? And I think as we were meeting as an exec, the question came up, could we pull in also folks from the community to assist and be on that committee? And the answer is yes, we can. But we would need someone from this commission to be leading that. And so is there anyone on this committee that's willing to take up and be a part of the committee that actually would plan what that might look like?
I have a question. Yeah, I have a question. So if you could expand to that in terms of the time commitment and the work plan, is that something that the committee will create, or do you have, do you have a vision for that? Like
my vision is that would be something that the committee would come up with. You would come up with the time frame that works for you all. Once folks decide who's on the committee, you guys would meet, and then you guys would plan how often you want to meet. You would then plan what activities you want to come under that. Would that be essentially doing a little bit of going to the community and listening, finding out what those work issues are that folks are facing? Or would you be working with companies and meeting with them, perhaps talking with them, doing trainings, let them know what types of services the EOC provides around that issue? That would strictly come from the committee. And we would ask that the committee meet and you guys plan, and you would bring that back to the full commission for support and to assist with whatever that plan might be.
And my follow-up question is, do you need just the commissions, or do you also want the elders to be part of it?
Well, you guys are part of it. So you part of this group. So if you all want to be a part of that commission, I don't separate the elders from this EOC commission, because I feel like you are part of the commission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm happy to join.
Well, thank you. Dina?
Yeah, I'm happy to join as well.
All right. Anybody want to take the lead on it? Because somebody has to take the lead and set up the meeting.
I'll take the lead.
Araceli. So Araceli will take the lead on that. We have two, Nazra and Dina, who are agreeing to being on that commission. And you all are more than welcome to also pull people from the community if you feel folks from the community would also enhance the work that you're doing. Any other questions? I just want to thank you guys for stepping up and facilitating that. Any other questions or thoughts on that? And I believe that is the end of our agenda. So I would need a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
Anyone opposed to adjourning? I'm not seeing any hands. So with that, I'd like to thank you all for your time this evening and hope you all have a great rest of your evening. And I see some folks might be traveling home. So wishing you a safe travels home. Thank you and have a good night.
Thank you.
Stay warm.